Hello and welcome to the One Short Podcast, the Sports Gazette's official cricket podcast. I'm your host, Toby, and as always, I'm joined by Michael and Ayush. How are you guys?
I'm good. Short Ayush is better than me after the series win this morning, but yeah, all good, thanks.
Yes, definitely. I mean, this has been one heck of a series, you know. I mean, it would have been better for the neutrals, I think, if it was 2-2 going into the fifth, but 3-1 as well. It's been a heck of a series. I mean, yeah. And today, again, it looked like anything could happen at one moment. But yeah, as an Indian cricket fan, I'm definitely happy.
Yeah, I think it would have been better for the neutrals and the English fans if it was 2-2 going into the last. As mentioned, India have taken the series 3-1 up at the moment, one test still to play. The game got off to an absolute flyer. Debutant Akash Deep got the home side, got a brilliant start for the home side with 3 early wickets on the first morning. And then first with Folkes and then with Robinson, Joe Root batted masterfully to construct a key partnership to keep England in the game. He ended up on 122 not out, stranded alone. Shoaib Bashir then tore through the India side, taking his first-class and test fifer. But the ever-present thorn in England's side, Jaiswal scored 73, while Jurel blasted 90 alongside Kuldeep's 28 from 131 to take India to 307. In the third inning, Zach Crawley's 60 was a lone stand as England crumbled from 110 for 3 to 145 all out. Ashwin ripped through the England side, equaling Anil Kumble's 5-wicket haul record of 35, while Kuldeep yet again chipped in with 4 wickets. Finally, after a few scares today, a crucial 70-run partnership between Gill and Jurel gave India victory, chasing 192 by 5 wickets. And yeah, what a test match it was. It was really up and down, fluctuating in the balance. But as I mentioned there, Ayush, Akash Deep, what a brilliant start for his test career, taking a fantastic three for right at the top to really crack open England's top order.
Brilliant. So good. And again, another guy, who has a big backstory, in just life, not just in cricket, getting his chance. And it's just so good to see these guys finding success right away, right? And yeah, it was a big match for him to get his test debut in. Series still on the line, anything could happen. You know, England was going to come hard, and the confidence with which he bowled was just, I mean, especially the dismissal. I think where I think who is it? I think it was Zach Crawley that he got, bowled. And even the LBW of Ollie Pope, I think it looked like it was so difficult to pick him. And he's not someone who's as quick as the Bumrahs or Pat Cummins of the world or whoever. He's got pace, but again, he doesn't just look like the kind of player who's going to be difficult to read, but just came in all hard, brilliant performance. And I didn't get a bowl, I think, in the second innings altogether. But how much he did in the first innings, picking up 3 wickets, then that too, 3 big wickets early of this in-form, England top order, especially with the openers. And then also getting Ollie Pope, who's another guy who's been in form for England. He's not been that consistent, but I mean, after that 180, 190 odd that he got in the first test, which won England the game, he was always going to be a danger player. And to get the top 3 on debut coming right away, I think that was, while we'll talk about some other very important contributions, I think that was an equally important contribution.
Absolutely, yeah. He absolutely destroyed that top order. There are obviously a few demons in the pitch, Michael, that maybe were helped. I mean, Ben Stokes got an absolute P-roller that bounced halfway down and hit him on the toe. What did you make of the pitch? Because, I mean, this, once Joe Root and Ben Folkes got in, it seemed to be either flattened out or did they just play it well? What did you make of the pitch generally?
I think it was pretty good. I mean, it made for quite an exciting match, didn't it? I mean, we saw this morning, didn't we? It was literally just Tom Hartley and Shoaib Bashir. Like, it really started to go by the 4th innings, and it was just spin. Jimmy Anderson bowled 3 overs in India's second innings, and yeah, we saw Shoaib Bashir and Ashwin both take fifers. So yeah, it was a good match. I mean, probably maybe could question the selection of Ollie Robinson when we saw all of the spinners get picked so much. I mean, Ollie Robinson obviously had an amazing innings with that partnership with Joe Root, 58 off 96 balls. But I think, yeah, the spinners were just so much more effective in this match. Yeah, Robinson went for a 4.15 economy, which isn't great really from 13 overs in that first innings. So yeah, it was a good game. Be interested to see what the pitch is like in the next match. Obviously, series is over now, so it doesn't matter too much, I guess.
No, I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens in that final game. And yeah, the seamers really seemed to excel earlier on there, Ayush. And as Michael mentioned, what did you make of the selections that Siraj and Akashdeep bowled sort of 15, 20 overs each in that first innings? But yeah, then Akashdeep didn't bowl at all in the third innings, and Siraj came on as first change and only bowled three overs with Jimmy not bowling at sorry, yeah, with Jimmy only bowling three overs as well, and Robinson not bowling at all by the end of it. Do you think that actually both teams were maybe focusing a bit too much on the seam that's been doing actually quite well over the last few games?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, as the game went on, it just looked like a pitch where even two pace bowlers was excessive, right? As you just read out the stats as well of how much these everyone bowled. With at the start of the game, with Akashdeep getting, those top three out, you'd think that, oh, okay, pace is gonna come into this game, is gonna play a bigger role than you'd think. But again, as the cracks opened up more, it was just all about the spinners. Ashwin even opened the bowling for India in that second innings, and yeah, I think Akashdeep not getting even a single over in that second innings, and it was a Siraj bowling just three overs going for 16 runs, while Kuldeep, Ashwin and Jadeja bowled what 50 overs between them in that second innings. So yeah, it that's why I think that how, especially in the last game as well, and the performance of the seamers up till now kind of played a role in that. With India, I can understand that they already had three really world-class spinners. And even if it was a pitch that would seem like spinners are going to come into play a lot more, they were still okay with that because they had, I mean, when you have Ashwin, Jadeja, Kuldeep, I don't think you need anyone else. Of course, it would have been even a bigger help to have someone like an Akshar batting wise as well on such on this kind of a wicket for one of the seamers. But yeah, when you have these three, you're not really worried. With England though, again, I think while they had, yeah, I think they got a bit unfortunate with Rehan Ahmed having to go back home as well, because there were talks earlier that he was dropped maybe or something, but it actually turned out to be that he had to go back home for personal reasons. And it was, I mean, very close to the game to announce a replacement who could play in this game as well. But I think England was still not too flustered by that because they still had Joe Root, who is, I mean, as we've seen this series, who's as good as a frontline spinner. And so they had him along with Hartley and Bashir. And yeah, I think maybe they would have, if Rehan Ahmed was available, I think they probably would have played him for Ollie Robinson. Or I don't know, one pacer, probably could have been just Jimmy and the three spinners, or maybe if they wanted to give Jimmy a rest as well, they could have probably rested him and just played Robinson or whoever else along with three spinners plus Root. So I don't know, maybe I'm saying that they did have the backup of Joe Root, and that kind of wasn't too much of a problem for them, but it's possible that they would have probably wanted to play Ahmed was he available.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that because that makeup of the first team, I mean, and they had Wood instead of Anderson, but those three spinners haven't actually played together since they won in that first test match, I don't think. So, I mean, maybe it would have been a bit of an option and they would have had more bowling options, or Ben Stokes would have had more options to choose between and they would have batted a bit deeper as well, although Robinson did make a few runs. So, yeah, perhaps it would have been a different story had England had that leg spinner. And I mean, Kuldeep as well, who is another wrist spinner, bowled really well, and I was actually very successful on the pitch. But Joe Root was absolutely crucial in that first innings. You mentioned his bowling, but the batting was unbelievably. Finally scored 100, finally scored some runs, which I will say I did predict it was a game too early, unfortunately. I think my foresight must have come to me sooner than I realized. But yeah,
But
Michael,
it's
he was
still better than any
unbelievable.
of our predictions, so you're doing well there.
Maybe. I mean, he scored a brilliant 122 not out, Michael, didn't he? He was absolutely fantastic and batted perfectly with Folkes and then Robinson, and actually carried England up to a really respectable score of 353.
It was really interesting, wasn't it? After the last match where everyone was kind of calling for stop, playing the reverse scoops and doing all this stuff and like playing so attacking, he scores a century, 122 off 274 balls. And the players that went with him also, played really slowly. Folkes 47 off 126 and Ollie Robinson 58 off 96. So it just goes to show, I think, that sometimes Basball can, relax a bit and we can still be successful. We don't have to go fully gung-ho. We have need to manage the situation a little bit. And that century was so crucial when everyone around him was crumbling, like Ollie Pope going out for a duck and Stokes going out for three, and the pitch kind of playing up, Akash Deep bowling really well. It was just, so important and should do to his confidence the world of good. But I mean, he couldn't replicate it in the second innings, unfortunately. But he was batting well though, and yeah, he's just got that quality. Like no one ever doubted his quality. I think it was just more frustration in the last match about his shot choice that kind of led to a few questions being asked about him. But yeah, I mean, I'd say he was definitely the standout English batter. Maybe not standout English player with Shaab Bashir taking, was it 9 wickets or 8 wickets over the mat? Yeah, 8 wickets. That fifer, of course, in the first innings. So yeah, I mean, it's just a shame no one in that middle order could go with him. I mean, Johnny Bairstow looked promising in both innings, but then in the second innings, that re another frustrating dismissal off that first ball, kind of chipping it straight into the fielder's hands. First ball of the second session, I think it was. Yeah, so frustrating because he needs that form. But I mean, he did score scores in the 30s in both innings, Johnny Bairstow. So yeah, I mean, I think Zach Crawley also looked really good again. He's now the highest run scorer, England's highest run scorer in the series. So yeah, I want to say I predicted that.
There's still a game to go, Michael. There's still a game to go. We'll have to wait and
I'm
see.
waiting for I'm waiting for the big score. I really thought he was going to push on.
What if Joe Root gets a triple 100 or something like that? You never know.
What chances of that happening? It's quite slim though. I think Zach Crawley could do it.
There is quite a fight with the England players, I think, to be the top scorer. I mean, Zach Crawley's got 328, Duckett's on 314, just below. Pope's on 285, and Root's now on 210 after scoring over half his runs in one innings. And actually, I think Pope's done the same. So, and Duckett almost the same. I think it's been quite interesting seeing Crawley because for so long for England, he's just had highs and lows. He's either scored massive double hundreds and been really good and unbelievable, or he's gone out for nothing. Whereas actually, he's been England's most consistent batter in the series by quite a long way. He's made 3 scores of 50 without going big at all. But when you look back just what, 3 years ago, 2, 4 years ago, he was in the side and he was either making a massive hundred when other people were making hundreds, or he was getting out for nothing and nicking off or getting smacked on the pad in front. It's interesting, Ayush, isn't it, seeing the progression of him under McCullum and Stokes.
Absolutely. And I think he said it a few months as well. I think was it during the Ashes when he scored that 100, was that he spoke, I think, specifically about the role of McCullum and Stokes in his confidence more than anything, where they just, they told him that you are our guy. You don't have to worry about your place in the team or just whether if you're getting a low score today, you don't have to live with the uncertainty of whether you're even playing tomorrow. And in that way, this McCullum Stokes era that leadership has really helped someone like him be more confident now that he doesn't have the constant fear or anxiety in his head about his place in the team. This allows him to play freely. And I think more than just him being one of the flag bearers of the baseball style of cricket, where he comes up top, smashes everything, plays at almost 100 or even more of strike rate, at least more than 90 consistently. His second innings was a very good example of his maturity. It was a 91 ball 60 strike rate of 65 point something. Pretty quick. That's still pretty quick for Test cricket, but it wasn't the typical Zach Crawley. He played the situation, learned from what Joe Root and Ben Foulkes did in that first innings, and understood that this was the way to play in on this pitch. And someone as explosive as him as well took his time and played, scored a 91 ball 60. In, it was just good to see that he showed that maturity in that second innings. And if England had eventually gone on to win this test match and maybe a bit more support from some of the other batters in the second innings, that 60 would have actually been a very defining innings. So yeah, it's along with his resurgence under Baswell and Stokes and McCullum, I think he's a more mature player overall as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll be the first one to say when Crawley first came into the side, and for the first, what, 5 years he was in the England side, I didn't think he had it. I think he needed, I thought, always thought he needed to go back and learn his trade, actually scoring runs in first class cricket, which he's still never really done. But he's now proven himself, and he is a fantastic test batter now. I mean, before his 100 in the Ashes over the summer, one of my favorite stats was he had scored 300s for England, and every single one someone else had made 100 at the same time. And yeah, he made a brilliant 100. Johnny Bairstow did score 99, so this, I just have to reduce the numbers now, the threshold to include in that statistic. But I think it does just show that he has become so much more consistent over the period, and he has been absolutely brilliant for England, and probably been one of, if not in, the best player under Baswell. And I mean, we'll have to wait and see over the next few years how he keeps progressing. But I called it 2 years ago when Stokes took over captaincy. I said Zach Crawley will be the captain in 2.5 years. I think I said 2 years' time, 3 years' time. So it's coming around the time. If Ben Stokes maybe takes retirement, it could be an option. But another player who's been brilliant under Baswell in far fewer games so far has been Shubh Bashir. Took an eight for today, Michael, and was, oh, not today, this test match, and was absolutely brilliant. Do you think that he's maybe vying, he's pushing for to become England's frontline spinner now? Jack Leach has been injured, hasn't really taken part in the series. Tom Hartley has been really, really good and is the leading wicket taker in the series. But, maybe he doesn't offer quite as much with the ball, more with the bat. How do you see England's spin option, and how good has Shubhishekhar been?
Yeah, so impressive. I mean, coming in, taking a fifer in the circumstances in such a crucial match. Yeah, really, really good from Shaab Bashir. In terms of whether he'll be our frontline spinner, I mean, I think there's not a lot of competition, which helps him out a lot. Like, look at who our three frontline spinners have been this test. They have average age of like 22, probably. So yeah, I mean, it's all about. I think Jack Leach is still number one when he comes back from injury. I think he's proven so much more. And Shaab Bashir is so young. And yeah, he has bowled really well, though. I think the conditions suited him in this test match. When he came in, there was a lot of movement. But yeah, he got some crucial wickets in the top of India's order in that first innings. Yeah, you got Jaiswal, Shubman Gill, Pattidar, and Jadeja. So four of the top five India batsmen, he got them out, and that's massive. Whereas Hartley Moore kind of started to get the tail a little bit more. But I do really like Tom Hartley because of what he gives you with the bat. I think he looks like a really good batsman. Shaab Bashir really doesn't look like a good batter, I'm not going to lie. The wild swipe for his wicket in the first innings was a tough watch, to be honest. But And when you got Jimmy Anderson as well in the team, that tail just looks a bit rough. Well, yeah, without that Ollie Robinson innings, we would have been in a lot of trouble. So, yeah, I do like I like what Hartley and God, what's the other spinner called? It's totally gone out of my head. Ahmed,
Rehan,
Rehan
or
Ahmed. Sorry, yeah,
yeah.
Tom Hartley and Rehan Ahmed. I like what they give you with the bat. I think Rehan Ahmed looks like a quality batter. He hasn't had like a good innings like Tom Hartley has in this test, but I think you can just tell from the way he bats, he does look class. And yeah, Bashir definitely doesn't give you that, but he's definitely not on the level of Ashwin and Jadeja and all them. But I think he's so young, definitely got potential, and such an amazing selection from whoever's selecting England's team, Ben Stokes. And Ben Stokes said he picked him from watching the video on Twitter of him bowling at Alistair Cook. I mean, that's a crazy story. Like, if that is actually true, Stokes has a very good eye for bowling talent, because that is seriously impressive.
I can confirm it is true because I know the guy, Bradley Adams, who was the one who clipped it all together. He works for the ECB doing social stuff, and yeah, he's an offie himself in sort of lower level cricket than Bashir, I'd say. But yeah, he I mean, it's absolutely remarkable story that that was actually the case, and look where he is now. And yeah, he's vying for that frontline spot, and depending on how Leach recovers and when he's back, because I think they've announced he's having surgery now. On his knee, I think it is. So that could be, it means he could be out for a long time. And if he's not ready for the start of the summer, then Hartley versus Bashir versus Ahmed, I guess there's three young spinners there who over the next decade, next 15 years could be in England's plans. And actually next time England come down to the subcontinent, they'll be so much more prepared, so much better prepared just by having this experience right now.
I mean, Will Jacks took a fifer on his test debut, remember? So you can't rule him out. And he's an amazing batsman as well. So I think he's definitely in the conversation. Like, Bashir, yes, he's played really well in this test, but that's all he's done, you know. I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but Will Jacks took a fifer on his debut, and he hasn't played a test match since, I don't think, for England. So
He's played
yeah,
one test match since.
So I'm not, I wouldn't get too ahead of ourselves on the Shad Bashir frontline spinner thing, but it could happen. He does look really good.
What do you make of it all, Ayush? Do you think that Bashir has an opportunity?
Yeah, I definitely think that. It was so good to watch him bowl in this. And again, the story, right? We all know that, his story of being picked out of nowhere, put into international cricket, that to test cricket, and he rose up to the challenge. And I don't know, I mean, I agree with Michael there. I really can't call who is going to be the frontline spinner going forward right away. I think Jack Leach kind of deserves that more based on seniority and experience and some of his past performances as well whenever he comes back. But since you said if he's going for surgery, it's going to take some time. Until then, Hartley Bashir have a really good chance to kind of really stand their authority. And I think both are in contention. What I've seen in this particular test match, Bashir was just so much more lethal. I mean, it was just so much fun to watch Shoaib Bashir bowl in this because, especially the second innings, every time Bashir came on to bowl, there was something happening. Every ball was an event. Especially in the first innings as well with his fifer. And Hartley was just struggling in the second innings on a wicket where I think he could have done better than he did. Still, fair play to him. He's still young. He's just, what, four test matches into his career or something? Yeah. He's still pretty young. And Bashir as well. But yeah, if this test match was anything to go by, Bashir, I think, is the guy who, in my opinion, has the biggest growth potential. Because he's just going to get better. And he's not going to play on these kind of pitches. I mean, probably just once in 4 years or whenever they go to maybe Sri Lanka or somewhere. So he's hardly going to get these occasions. He's going to have to learn how to kind of grind it out on wickets back home or here, I should say, in England as well. And yeah, he will get better, I think. But when it comes to Hartley, his batting's a big advantage for him, because Bashir is not nowhere close to the kind of batting quality that Hartley has. So I don't know. I mean, and Hartley, the way he bowled in that first game as well, shows that even he can really be lethal and cause damage with the ball. So I think it's tough to call for me right now which of them gets the preference. But purely on a bowling, from a bowling aspect, I really like what I see from Shoaib Bashir.
Even just in the two games he's played, he's improved so much, I think. I mean, a man who's played a lot more than two games though is R. Ashwin. She's been fantastic. He's equaled Anil Kumble's 5-wicket haul records of 35 for India. And he bowled fantastically again, just tearing through the England lineup in that third innings.
Yeah, and he's closing in on another big milestone. I think Dharamshala, if he plays, will be his 100th test match, and got to the milestone of 500 as well. And yeah, he's, I don't know, so much has already been said about him, positive and negative. A lot of people have given him a lot of flack. Some people just called him, said that he's just a YouTuber now and things like that. But again, it's Ravichandran Ashwin. And the fact that India chased 192 and not more than 192 in that fourth innings was Ashwin, the way he bowled in that second innings. Kuldeep, again, fantastic. Not taking anything away from him. I think Michael Vaughan gave him the biggest compliment when he said he bowled like a left-handed Shane Vaughan. I think Michael Vaughan tweeted that. And it doesn't get bigger than that when it comes to compliments for a spinner. But Ashwin, yeah, so good. Again, he was ready. It's like in the first innings, you saw again, the England spinners again had outbowled the Indian spinners. They were better collectively based on just the first innings of both the teams. And the second innings comes in, Ravichandran Ashwin takes the first ball and he's ready. You can just see it the way he comes in. Of course, the pitch was helping him as well, but you could see that Ashwin was ready to make an impact. And that's what he's been to this Indian team over the years. The first guy who'll put his hand up whenever there's a challenge, whenever you need someone to stand up, he says, "Right, I'm ready. I'll go. I'll win you the match." And 35, right? 5 wicket hauls now, yeah. And I think Muralidharan's record is 38 or 39 or something like that. So he's closing in on that as well if he plays for a little bit more time. But again, with Ashwin, every time you think he's not in form or he's not his best self, and at this age, of course, you can expect that from anyone. At the age of 37, he'll be 38 later this year. But Ashwin is still going to come up with those performances that are going to win you matches. Until he plays, he's going to come up with these performances. And he's one of the first people who'll step down as soon as he thinks that he can't match that level anymore. The moment he feels that, he'll respectfully step down. And yeah, he's a great leader and a legend in every way.
Murali's record's actually 67, I think,
Is it
not in the third.
67? Oh, then I must have read something else. Maybe 10 wickets in the match or something like that. I don't know.
No, I think Warne, Hadley and Kumble and Ashwin are all in about the 30s, and then you have to jump to like 67 or something crazy like that for Murali.
Even though, of course, again, a subcontinent spinner gets those pitches as well, but 67 is just, it's quite insane.
I did not know that Ashwin had a YouTube channel.
He does. He's Ashwin's a big YouTuber back home. I mean, he speaks a lot of about dressing room secrets as well sometimes, or behind the scenes stuff, talks about some important topics as well. And we all know how he's a really good orator, good presenter.
He is so, like, I mean, it makes sense in the way he bowls as well, but he is a supremely clever bowler, supremely clever cricketer, just generally as well. And I mean, when you look at the wickets he took, obviously the five, we got Jimmy was one of them, but he got Duckett, Pope, and Root at the beginning, which was absolutely crucial. Because I mean, if one of them had stayed along with Zach Crawley, then that would have made it so much an easier setup for England. And then eventually when the middle order and lower order in, Jadeja and Yadav got a couple more, and he got Folkes again, who was putting up a proper fight with 17 from 76, and he just bowled fantastically well. Michael, what did you make though of England's attempt at batting in that innings. I mean, other than Zach Crawley, Johnny Bairstow made it to 30. No one else passed 17.
Yeah, it was looking good when Zach Crawley was in. He was looking really playing really well, and yeah, I think it was when him and Johnny Bairstow kind of had a partnership going. It was quite positive, and then Crawley gets out. Yeah, Coldup gets Crawley, and then it's all on Johnny Bairstow basically to kind of get that lead over India.
So what you're saying is it's all Johnny Bairstow's fault that England have lost the Test series.
Yeah,
Perfect. I love
pretty
that.
much, yeah. I mean, no, I don't want to. He had the second best innings of any English batter. I don't want to go too hard. I love Johnny Bairstow, and I know you don't, Toby, but that's all right. It's all right. But yeah, I think the collapse was the worst thing, wasn't it? I think. Yeah, well, I'm trying to remember, because I was watching it. I was trying to remember kind of how it happened. I think, yeah, like we had a solid lead, and it was kind of like if we get to a 200 lead, it's positive, and we'd probably be the favourites. India might not be able to chase that because the pitch looked terrible. All our batters were going out for nothing, but 192 lead in the end just wasn't enough, and it was quite a comfortable chase for India in the end. But in terms of, yeah, that England collapse, I think I am going to kind of blame Johnny Bairstow actually.
There are a few interesting Hawkeye calls, supposedly. I
Yeah.
don't think it was. There's a lot of tweeting about it, and I think whoever's tweeting about it is very likely incorrect. I think from what I understand, the screen that we all see on TV is just a projection. It's like that's not what Hawkeye actually uses. They have a much more probably a much less interesting graphic. If they might not even have a graphic at all for it, but I think they probably create that so that the viewers at home sort of understand what's going on. And I think that probably didn't help. But yeah, the Stokes got bowled by Yadav. I think did he just lose concentration? It just got in on him again trying to cut it or something like that.
Yeah, I can't
Maybe,
remember.
yeah.
I think it was, I'm not sure how the second innings was, but yeah, the ball that kept really low was in the first innings.
But yeah,
That was
Ben Stokes struggled, didn't he? I mean, 3 off 6 in the first innings, and then 4 off 13 in the second. Ollie Pope as well, two ducks, which is really tough. And they're that's your captain and your vice captain. Not really leading by example there with the bat, both of them. And Ben Stokes has kind of struggled all series, to be honest. I'm trying to. I think he got a couple of half centuries, didn't he? But other than that, he hasn't had that big Ben Stokes innings, that he normally does. Kind of hanging on at the end with the tail, just smashing sixes, which we've been lucky to become so used to seeing from him. But he has struggled with the bat this series, and I think these are the kind of games you need your captain to step up, and 4 off 13 balls just isn't good enough. And if anyone went with Johnny Bairstow, I think they could have got a partnership going, and we might have seen a different outcome to this test match, to be honest.
The one thing you really can't complain about is Jarrell. Man of the match performance, Ayush. He was unbelievable. He scored a brilliant 90 in that first innings, just sort of exploded towards the end alongside Coldeep. And then, yeah, crucial 70-run partnership with Shubman Gill to carry India over the line. How impressed have you been that on debut he's been so important to this India team and to victory for them?
Yeah, I'm going to reiterate one thing that I've read a lot about Dhruv Jurel today is that India have found a gem and they better preserve him because he is absolutely fantastic. It's his keeping as well. A couple of really good catches in the previous game, this game as well. Such good catches from him behind the stumps, good awareness from him, keeping so well to the spinners on a track which was even tougher to bat on than the previous game towards the end or whatever. And then his batting, the 90 in the first innings was the only reason that India were in that match when England came out to bat in the second innings. Or then England would have comfortably had a lead of over 100 or whatever. And on this pitch, that would have actually been the end of it. And then today as well, in the morning, when India, a couple of wickets, 2 and 2, Bashir was on a hat trick. I think it was 120 for 5. And 72 runs was still tricky to get from there. And he comes in and there's no sign of him going in a shell or a couple of close inside edges or drop catches or plays and misses or whatever. He just comes in, knows exactly what he has to do. Just second test match in on this kind of a wicket when Bashir, Hartley were bowling really well. The most important thing today, he rotates strike. Does not get bogged down at one end. Lets Shubman Gill play more of a role as well. Just takes those singles, takes those twos, keeps the run sticking. And of course, like it was, India were already favorites at that stage. I mean, they just had a little bit more of an edge. But as the runs kept coming down, it plays a psychological factor as well, right? The England bowlers and Ben Stokes just getting a little bit more antsy. And that happens to everyone. So he realized the importance of that, the way he had to bat on this wicket. And more than anything, I mean, he's skillful. There are a lot of players who are skillful, but it's the body language that he's projecting. And I think that has been one difference between Patidar and him in the series as well. Patidar, again, very skillful, probably more skillful as a batter than maybe Jurel is, probably. But Jurel's body language made the difference in the end, both innings. He was just so determined. He was just so zoned in when he came into bat. And when he came into bat, the way he's, even his stride forward in defense or some of the strokes that he played, just told the opposition that I'm here to stay. And I'm not under pressure as much as you're thinking. Whereas with Patidar, you saw that again, I mean, the number of matches he's played, you've been seeing that pressure really get to him. So keeping batting attitude-wise, I think so impressive from Jurel. And I would love to see him retain his place even when Rishabh Pant is back in this team. Because that guy, I mean, keep his wicket keeping aside, I think just as a batter, he's got a lot of potential in this team.
Yeah, I think it was such a good selection by India, wasn't it? Because Bharat, he kept really well, KS Bharat in the previous test, but Jurel was brought in because he's a much better batter, right? And when you got Jadeja coming in at five, India's batting order was struggling there. I mean, Sarfraz Khan's looked like amazing since he's come in, but he's so untested. Then you got Patidar, who's really struggled. And yeah, I mean, hats off to the Indian selectors because bringing Jurel in just gave them that extra bit of batting quality and probably won this test match for India. Those runs were crucial. I mean, he's going at a 87 and a half average in this test match, and KS Bharat is 23, so.
Something he said yesterday after that 90 as well, Dhruv Jurel, it just struck me, and it just says a lot about him, right? When he was asked in the press conference after getting out of 90 that this was your chance, just your second test match, to get a maiden test 100, that too at home in the town of probably India's most accomplished wicketkeeper batter, MS Dhoni. And he said, you know what? I'm not disappointed. It doesn't matter to me because if it wasn't 100, it was still a very important defining innings in this test match. And he said, the only dream I've ever had is lifting the trophy with my team, playing test cricket and lifting a series trophy. He's like, so I don't really care whether I didn't score those extra 10 runs. And yeah, that's a big thing to say for a young guy because anyone would be absolutely, I mean, they would be really sad or dejected that I'm not, I just few more runs, I could have gotten my maiden test 100 after working so hard. But that again shows his attitude.
Absolutely, yeah. He was unbelievable on the second second game for India, and I'm sure he'll continue playing for them. It now begs a really interesting question about how India might set up over the next coming, well, first of all, the next game, and then over the next coming few years. 9 of the 11 players had proper contributions. It was just Sarfraz and Pattadar who really missed out throughout the game, and they are just generally the team is so well rounded throughout. I mean, not to mention Virat Kohli, Kara Hall, Rishabh Pant, Jasper Bumrah, Mohammad Shami, Akshar Patel, almost a team of test match legends on their own are missing from this game. Ayush, how do you see that they might progress and adapt and actually fit everyone in over the next couple of years?
Yeah, it's going to be really tough, right? I think this series, while we missed so many of these guys that you spoke about, it's given Indian cricket so much. Yashasvi Jaiswal is now an absolute certainty going forward. There's no way you can even think of changing the batting order around to fit someone else at the top or whatever. He's in there. He's staying. Sarfaraz as well. You want to play him now? Jurel, you want to play? I really don't know. I mean, that's the one question I have absolutely no idea about how they're going to fit all of these guys in. Kohli will come back whenever they play Test cricket next with. Now we all know why he was out and everything is positive on that front. So whenever we play Test matches again, he will come back. So Kohli will come back in. Bumrah's, of course. Definitely going to be a starter, but Shami will come back in as well. What do you do then with Siraj or someone else? So on that front as well, with spinners as well, if Ashwin calls it quits sooner or later, you have Akshar, you have, I mean, Washington Sundar is one guy I mean, probably in any other country or many other cricketing nations would have played a lot more matches than he's already played in Test cricket. But because you have Ashwin Jadeja, Kuldeep Akshar, he's hardly played any test matches. And he was so good on that historic 2021 test series win in Australia as well. So, yeah, I mean, you just got so many guys. The problem is going to be how you fit them in. And what that also brings with it is going to be more criticism when you don't do well, especially overseas. Because every time you pick one guy over the other, questions will be raised. And if that guy doesn't perform and you lose overseas, especially, questions will be raised saying that you had this other guy, probably better, who you didn't pick. So, along with that, along with those a good headache, it brings a bad headache as well. So, we'll see how they do it. Maybe play horses for courses or whatever. We'll see. I don't know how they're going to do it.
And then how do you think they'll set up for the next game in Dharamsala?
Yeah, I think good opportunity to have a few changes in there. Series is done. Like I said, Washington Sundar, he's in the squad. Maybe give him the opportunity. I don't see too many changes. Probably Bumrah comes back again. Now I don't know if Bumrah does come back or no for the fifth one. Maybe they just want to give Akashdeep one more game with Siraj, or try Mukesh Kumar again. See if he does well on a wicket that could probably help him more in Dharamshala. And so he can just get his confidence back, which probably would have lost over the last two test matches. So yeah, maybe that's the there's an opportunity to do that. So I'm not sure on the Bumrah front with the IPL and the T20 World Cup coming up, and you want him to play throughout those two tournaments. Maybe another opportunity to give him rest and give these youngsters more of a go. But I'd like to see Washington Sundar in. I think Ashwin should play the next one. It's his 100th test. So he gets the 100th out of the way, and then he can think of what's his future as well, because he's 37 now. So, yeah, I mean, we'd love to see him play for as long as he wants to. But if he wants to think about that, he has more of a liberty to think about that after getting the 100th test out of the way, because he's hit the 500 milestone and everything. So there's nothing really, really on a stats or numbers front to achieve. So could be a good option there. Maybe get Akshar bit more match time as well. Jadeja's had recent injury issues, so maybe rest him as well. And Akshar's equally capable, we know that. On the batting front, I don't know. They don't have too many options. The reason that few of these players are playing is because so many of the batters are out. If Rahul comes in, I think he will play because he's been short on match time as well, right? So it's always a good idea to give KL Rahul a bit more of game time and his quality. Padikkal is the only other proper batter who's not played who's in this squad. But no, I don't think he gets a chance. Maybe Patidar gets one more opportunity. It's that final chance for him to showcase what he's got. So not too many changes, but I'm definitely expecting at least a couple of changes.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see whether, yeah, if I think Kara Hall is fit, he'll probably come straight in for Patidar. Otherwise, as you mentioned, I think Patidar probably continues on. On England's front, Michael, Dan Lawrence and Gus Atkinson are the two players on the tour who haven't had a chance yet. Do you see either of them coming in, particularly with there only being two frontline spinners in the England squad due to injuries and Rian going home as well?
Yeah, for that reason, I think we might see Dan Lawrence. Could see Johnny Bairstow drop out. I think that's the obvious replacement because Dan Lawrence is a good middle order batter, I think. But yeah, other than that, can't see too many changes being made because we just don't have any players left. I mean, Jimmy Anderson didn't bowl that much really in this. I think he bowled about 21 overs in this test match. So he should be fine, really. Only three overs in that second innings. I think they'll keep the spinners the same. Bashir and Hartley, yeah, play again. And yeah, Mark Wood will come back in. Yeah, I think the question is Gus Atkinson. I mean, what do you're probably better placed to answer this one. What do you think about Gus Atkinson? Because I think Jimmy and Mark Wood will play probably.
Yeah, I mean the next test match isn't for 10 days, so it kind of gives a lot of players a lot of rest if they need it. And yeah, as so many overs were bowled by spin, not that many people are probably going to be too tired or unavailable for the next one unless there are injuries or a few niggles maybe in and around. But I'd love to see Gus Atkinson, even if it's just for one test at the end of the series. I think he is such an exciting prospect. He's only played 16 first-class matches, so he's barely played at all, same as pretty much the rest of the England bowling lineup, other than Jimmy. And yeah, I think I'd like to see him. I think he'd have to come in almost as a third seamer, where you play Mark Wood will almost certainly return. One of Jimmy or Robinson, probably, as I don't think you necessarily need both. And then if they think it really is a seamer-friendly pitch, it'd be perfect time for Gus Atkinson to debut. In what could be and what has been in the past a very good seamer pitch. So that'd be quite a nice go for him after what I'm sure has been quite a long sort of month and a half of the tour so far. So I'd like to see him come in. I think I wouldn't be that surprised if they don't and they just stick with two spinners, two seamers as they've done for a couple of the games so far. But yeah, again, it's not un-Bazball like to throw in a young guy who's not played that much and to try and get him to learn and find his trade within Test match cricket. So I think it could be really exciting and I'll be looking forward to what might happen over the next sort of 10, 15 days when the Test match finally kicks off. But yeah, that is all we have time for on the One Short podcast today. We'll be back in hopefully a few days for maybe a WPL special and after that another preview maybe of the Test match, the final Test match of England versus India. Thank you guys for joining me, and we'll be back in a few days soon.